Father, in Jesus' name, we do delight in your Son. We thank God we delight in the Word. And Lord, we're here to hear him. Lord, by your Spirit, take over. Your anointing is here because we've gathered in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. We look to him for everything. And thank you that you have put everything in him for us. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God. Well, we'll begin this morning in Song of Solomon chapter 7. We'll be going back to this verse, I believe, over the next few weeks. Testimony the Lord gave me on a trip recently, and thanking the Lord again how he leads us along. In the Song of Solomon chapter 7, this is the Shulamite responding to the bridegroom, kind of wrapping up the end of this. She finally realizes it's all about his love to her, how he adores her, how he is ravished with her. And now, praise God, she's kind of quit talking about herself. And I'm just here to adore you and admire what your grace has brought through me for you. And here she says in the 9th verse of the 7th chapter, "And the roof," and I will say it this way, "of my mouth, like the best wine." And I want to really underscore that, the best wine, "for my beloved, that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to awake. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me." And I thank the Lord, it is the best wine. And how glorious this verse and this, this whole chapter and this Song of Solomon, but especially here, this glorious expression of the victory of knowing his great love for you, to thank him and to realize what the word of his grace can build up in you for him, what the purpose of this word is in your life. And the Lord so faithfully gave me even more encouragement of this recently on a trip, seeing a bunch of saints and how wonderful, preparing us for that. But he brought us to a place in Washington called the Walla Walla Valley, and it's wine country. And I learned there even in more depth the way to the best wine. And there was one thing that was common in asking about it and hearing about it. The vine must be stressed. The vine must be stressed. They call it stressing the vine. And what that means is the more that it struggles, the more quality the fruit for the wine. The more that that vine will struggle, the more quality the fruit for the grape that will make the wine. Go on over to Corinthians, the 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it says there so sweetly and encouraging us. Paul saying this, I can hear him tell me right now, it's by his Spirit. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." You go on over to Romans 8. Can you imagine Paul even said it to another group of saints over here in Romans 8? And so sweetly, verse 18, it says here, and this is his heart speaking so sweetly, "For I count it, it's done, I've added it up, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Praise God, the best wine. And they told me about that best wine as I traveled, that wine and that vine has got to be stressed. And there's three main ways that they stress it. They stress it by pruning. They stress it by limiting the water. And they stress it by crowding it with other vines. So they don't just put the vine out there by itself. They put other vines around it and they pack them in there real tight. I think you're getting a real picture of what God's doing with your life right there. Now, I want you to understand this. If the vine isn't pruned, And if the vine is given vast amounts of waters, I mean just covered with water, and if the vine isn't crowded with other vines, what happens with that vine is it grows wild. It does. It grows very abundantly. It becomes this sprawling, leafy plant. But oftentimes that sprawling, amazing thing that looks so big, it either has no fruit, or the fruit that it really does have is very, very poor quality and not even fit for even making bad wine. All right? So there you go. Well, let's close it up, and that's it, huh? Now you know your life. Say, thank you, Jesus. I got it. Man, I didn't even have to go there. Praise his name. But you see, this is what happens if it's not pruned. But if the vine is stressed, and stressed through pruning and limiting the water, and we'll get to that limiting the water. I want you to understand that there's something that God does in that. And crowding it with other vines, when that happens, the best fruit comes forth, the best wine. And as it says here, the best wine from your mouth, praise God, for the bridegroom. And it's all because of the stressing. He's got a result in this. He's got a perfect ending if you'll trust him. Huh? The glory that shall be revealed in you. There's not a maybe there. It's assured. It's assured. He knows what he's doing with you. You need to trust him. You need to believe him. He knows this. And he knows what you need to bring forth the best wine for him. Remember, we're the vessels of his mercy. We're to the praise and the glory of his grace. Amen? And I'm going to ask you, you know, just like the lump of clay, what does that grape do? It don't do anything, does it? It just grows. And it gets all of its feeding. It's at the end. It's the fruit. It's the majesty in a sense of it. It's what's enjoyed, especially by the husbandman, because he's got long patience waiting for that fruit. But that grape don't do anything but grow. That's your life. By the grace of God, I want to be to the good pleasure of his will, his ecstasy. I want to be this best wine. I want my kiss, by the grace of God, for him to just say the eternities of wow. You ever got a kiss like that? It all begins with the kisses of his mouth. Isn't that interesting? The Song of Solomon, the very first part of it, she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Where do you think that kiss, she learned to kiss like that? I could get really descriptive and embarrass you all. But you know where I'm going with this. You'll never learn to kiss until you let him kiss you. And you got to let him kiss you with the Song of Solomon and the depths of the meaning. That's only revealed when you understand Paul's gospel. This is the kiss of a bridegroom. You can get a kiss of a daddy, kisses you on the forehead, hugs you. And it feels so good. It's marvelous. But I'll tell you what, when you get the kiss of your spouse, your first love, your shoes fly off. That kiss is waiting you in the Word of God. It's waiting for you if you'll take it. But you can keep denying it. You can keep turning your, you know, he's holding you. He does. He never lets his children go. But he wanted to kiss you here. And you're only letting him kiss you here. You got to want the kisses of his mouth like a lover. But you'll only have that desire when you understand, yea, the deep things of God, the deep things of his heart, why you're here. It's not a purpose-driven life. It's the purpose of him. Amen. And let it be completely planted and flourished in your life. Now, here we go. Today, praise God, we're going to begin the first one of these three stressings. Over the next 3 weeks, by the grace of God, he'll take us into each one of these glories. And the reason we're going to take a time for each one is because, let me tell you something, we can't exhaust them. They're so deep. They're so personal to each and every one of us. And I thank the Lord as the Lord brought me to this. I'm with brethren that want nothing else but to be that best wine for him. Don't you want to be that? I believe you do. You wouldn't be here hearing this message. You'd go to hear 45 minutes of music till you're in a trance. Oh, I felt real good. My arms are a little tired, though, but I don't know. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I know what goes on. And I know that that's what's called a leafy plant. He's after fruit. He's not after wood, hay, and stubble. He's after gold, silver, and precious stone. I want to be with what he's about. I want to be efficient by the grace of God with the love of Christ. So today we're going to go on to the first one, which is pruning. Oh yeah, I see head shaking out there. You know that one, huh? Oh, I know the pruning. Oh, I've told you about Brother Hill as he came to my house that one time, pruned that grapevine. Boy, Polly come running out after he left, back into the house. Oh, honey, she was crying. That thing was so beautiful. He's killed it. I mean, that thing went, I'm serious, at least 40, 50 feet across our whole fence, and it was gorgeous. I went out there. It looked like that. And I kid you not, it looked just like that. And she said, it's dead. I could hear him laugh. As he, you know, almost, you know, as he gets in his car, she don't know a thing. And it was true, boy, the abundance the next year, it was incredible. But we know this pruning. And I believe by the grace of God, we're really learning by grace to rejoice in the pruning. Amen? Come on. Amen? Don't you want him to come forth and not you anymore? Praise God. Turn on over to John 15. Come on, John 15. Here we go. This is what he wants. You want it? John 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, and thank him for that. There's fruit going on today, but you know what happens to the branch that bears fruit? He purges it. Oh, he cuts it. He trims it back that it may bring forth more fruit. More fruit. Now, that's exciting to think of more fruit in an abundance, but I want you to understand this. This word more here does not mean quantity. It doesn't. This word more means superior and more excellent in quality. See, haven't you read the Word of God enough? He's not after masses of people. He, matter of fact, you know what? He chose the Jew. Just a little bit of people. He didn't get ones that were, he didn't pick them because they were great in numbers, that they were mighty and strong, that they were really bright. He said, I chose you because I love you. I love you. And he's loved you ages past in his son. That's you. That's you. Isn't that wonderful? Grace, grace, mercy. That's what that is. So he's after quality. And as I learned on this trip about pruning, I used to think that, you know, that pruning was just once a year, just like Brother Hill did. He'd come in there and he pruned that thing and it was abundant. But those weren't grapes we ate anyways. They were really more for decoration. And that was a big leafy plant. And I was thinking, yeah, that's exactly right. It was big and leafy. It had some grapes and they weren't too bad. But we're after the best wine. Best wine. So they said, oh, yes, we do that. You have to. You have to trim them back like that, that they look like a little stub. But for the best grapes, the best wine to make, they've got to be pruned by hand, and they've got to be pruned by hand all throughout the year. And the reason why is if those leaves grow too big, if there get to be too many leaves on that vine, what happens is they cover the fruit. They cover the fruit as the clusters start to come out, they're covered, and the sun doesn't shine on it. And what happens with grapes is grapes in the shade become lazy. Isn't that something? Do you understand why you're always going back and looking for that lotus land of ease, and Lord, I need that boat with that big old fan and leaf on me, huh? That ain't happening. I've never been on that boat. I don't even know where that boat is. You want God, he's going to take you out to a wilderness. He's got more to show you than a, and he loves you too much to let you get lazy. He ain't going to allow that to happen if you want this. See, the best juices of the vine can't come forth when grapes are covered. The sun has got to hit them. Got to hit them. As a matter of fact, not just hit them, but almost virtually bake them. And what happens when those grapes are baked is all the juices and the nutrients come up through that vine and even through the soil that could never get to that grape unless it's stressed. Unless it's to the point of almost dying, it's drawn everything it can out of that vine. You get in your life a little bit more all the time in this. Come on now. You can thank him. And I tell you what I'm thanking him. I'm thanking him I'm a bruised reed. Do you thank him that you're a bruised reed? Do you thank him that you're a smoking flax? Oh, I do. I thank God for that. I thank him, as it says in the 119th Psalm, in his faithfulness he's afflicted me. That's a mighty thing. See, he's faithful, brothers and sisters, not to allow us to let us to think too highly of ourselves. Praise God. He's got a way of our lives being a moment by moment of mercy. I heard like a little teeny amen. And it's not that I want to hear an amen, but I know it's in your heart. But unless you really see that, you don't see it. I'm so thankful I need him. I'm so thankful that my life, by the grace of God, is a complete, ever and never ending moment by moment of grace. Of grace. I call out to him always. I thank the Lord that he's made me fragile. I thank God that things that I used to ask him to take away, I said, my Lord, I thank you. You brought me to this place to sup with you. I need you, Jesus. Well, brother, I thought it was going to come out just all root and branch. Oh, my. My sin as far as is the east is from the west. I'm justified. Where there is no law, there is no sin. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He's working. Oftentimes I don't understand in a way. Lord, how do you work like that? How do you do that? Honey, just read it. Know it. And believe. You know, there are some things about him that are just past finding out. There are some things about him that are just beyond spectacular. How he brings forth these graces and glories in our life, in spite of ourselves. I thank the Lord that I've been under the teaching of truth and love, spirit and truth, that I can rely and look to him for everything. Believing God. Just believing God. And I have to tell you, I thank the Lord. Maybe some might disagree. But I know my life by the grace of God. I'm not a leafy guy. There might have been times that I thought maybe I needed a leaf or two. But as a part of me start to get too big, he takes it away. And he does. He's faithful. He's faithful. That he must increase and I must decrease. And he loves us too much to get in the way. He does. He loves you too much to get in the way. You're too valuable to God. Too valuable to God. That Christ in you, the hope of glory that he put in you, he's coming after it. Word of God says, I've come for your words. I've come for them. Sometimes you turn away after you've said it. Sometimes you want to shy away. Sometimes you want to hole up in a corner of guilt. Oh, Lord, that just couldn't be me. Maybe you get too tired. Maybe you just, you know, I can't deal with this anymore. You might be in that place today. Even ones listening on right now. Don't go there. Don't turn away. Don't turn that cheek and let him kiss you here. Let him kiss you here. If it's the best wine, you got to take them kisses. And see, them kisses of his mouth, what that means is he's going to equip you to fight. Mm-hmm. And fight the good fight of faith. Did you hear that? Fight the good fight of faith. Uh-huh. Now, let me ask you this. With faith, a lot of things come up against you. But I love this too. He's the God that delivers me out of all my troubles. And then if you learn about him, he said, you know, you're just kind of born troubled. You better understand that about you. Because he wanted to deliver you. And if you didn't have a need, why would you need faith? If you didn't need help, then why would he put that wonderful throne of grace there? And why would he say that, come boldly unto me, and when? In the time of need. And the very first thing, again, he tells you there is to get mercy. Mercy. Isn't that wonderful? See, to approach it in that, the beauty of, Lord, you're everything. You're my increase of everything. I'm just decreasing. I'm not coming to get grace because I deserve it. Because that grace gives me mercy because it's his throne of grace. But there's an order there of how that all happens. And how I just become this vessel that receives this vast amount of grace. He gives grace to the humble. And in order to be humble, you need to understand you're a vessel of mercy. I love your smiles. They make Christ in me happy. Happy. We're getting it. Oh, we're getting it. Now, I'm going to tell you something about you. Lying in you is the best fruit. It's right there. He's no respecter of person. He wants you to be completely victorious. He wants you to be that wine that he brings up to him someday. And he says, oh, honey, I've been waiting for that kiss. What do you think, Juan? Amen? I've been waiting for that kiss, son. I didn't bring you in this meeting for any other purpose. But I want that kiss. I want that love. I want that embrace. I want that. That's what the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is. If you get into the meaning of that, it's the height of the embrace. What do you think the height of your embrace is here? Every third or fourth month, we get to do it right here. The height of embrace to natural man. Here comes the spouse, my wife. That embrace, that kiss. Lying in you is the grape for the masterpiece, the finest grapes. And in that, we need the furnace. Has to have the furnace. It's okay. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't worry about it. Thanks be to God. There must be fiery trials. Things that are would be strange, but for the Lord telling you. And I found the strangest things to my life are not the things that happen out here. It's the things that happen in here. They're fiery. But they got to be fiery for the sweetest of juices to form. Without the furnace, We'd just be these sprawling, leafy, spoiled, worthless plants. We would. No fruit at all. Boy, but boy, they look good. Oh, they look so good. That scrawny little thing out there, and I'm telling you, that's what's so amazing to me, because I enjoy going to these different beautiful places, if the Lord allows me to go, these wine country places and all, and to see some of the, you know, there's some very vast, beautiful looking plants out there, and then some, man, did that guy forget to water that thing? And the closer you get over to it, it's like, oh my goodness, it's got a cluster of grapes, got to weigh 4 or 5 pounds. And I remember asking a person one time, and I mean this very sincerely, okay, how many of them's gonna clusters you're gonna need to make a wine out of that? That one cluster, son, we might even get 2 or 3 bottles out of that. Now let me ask you this. If they went into Canaan and they had to get a cluster, and they had to get 2 fellas to get on each side of a pole to carry that thing out, why do you think he was telling you about that kind of stuff? You know, this isn't, I will say this, this isn't, you know, thinking about Jurassic Park. This is about the cup of salvation he wants you to enjoy. Do you know how immense that thing is? Do you know what he's built in you? Do you have a concept, sister, of what Christ in you, the hope of glory, means to him? I believe you do. And it's so big, it's so vast, it's so important, and it's so intimate to him. That if it was only you, he'd have done it all. He tells me that all the time. All the time. So, well, we need to wrap this up. This is fun, though. I like it. Hope you do. Without the cutting away of us, see the abundance of the sun glory. It never gets through. You see that? Because if it's too leafy, sun ain't going to hit it. If you're about you and how you look, it's so sweet how the Lord brought that to me from a brother. Somebody so interested about their testimony. Don't besmirch my testimony. Oh, ho, ho. Oh. Get away from me, filthy rag. Now, without the cutting away, the sun glory is going to be missed. Without the stressing of our vine, and the need to call out for more grace, we're never going to be that vessel of mercy. You understand that? You are, but you'll never recognize it. And I'll tell you, that's right back to the life of Joseph. That you got to know how to abound, you got to know how to be abased. Have to. If you're going to rule and reign, he's got to put you through all of that many times. Without the times of stress, isn't this sweet? Not only do the best juices not come forth, but even the best fragrance can't be produced. Do you understand that? See, the best wine is not just about the taste, it's about the smell. And that's the truth. See, the sweet-smelling incense only comes from the burning. Got to burn it to smell it. And the fruit has to be crushed to taste it. Yeah. That's you. That's you. Praise God. So, he loves us. The word of God tells us that he's the vine and we're the branches. So let's let him. We can't do anything anyways. So silly, the grape telling the vine, well, you need to do this. Just grow. Just grow and trust him. By the grace of God, don't murmur and complain. Understand what he sees you to be for him. Understand what he wants to bring forth for him out of you. When you think of what he was crushed and pressed and what poured out of him for us. And now he's saying, oh honey, what I want to have crushed and pour out of you for me. You think he wants one to enjoin everything with him? Now, let's go back and read it one more time. And the roof of my mouth like the best wine for my beloved. The best wine for my beloved. That goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to awake. That kiss is going to awaken it all. He is waiting for that kiss, that best last drink, best wine, her lips. And when that kiss happens, it's all going to begin. Everything's, the ones that are asleep are going to awake. All of that tribulation's going to begin to come forth. All of that millennial time's going to come forth. And all I can sit there and think is, you know, Lord, what a wine. And even better than that, what a kiss. Kiss me right here. Kiss me right here, Lord. Amen. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And this gospel's doing it. And those that will, this gospel's doing it in you. Let's pray. Father, we do. We just thank you for your son. Lord, this amazing love plan. Oh my. Lord, help us truly increase our faith. And we know that through hearing this word, our faith is increased. But we do call out on you. It's your desire. But increase our faith to believe. All those that heard today, Lord God, my life today. Lord, let me go after it more. Let me have more passion for this. Be more intent. Leaving those things which are behind and pressing, reaching for more and more grace, because that's what's going to get it done. The masterpiece of grace, your soon coming bride, and oh, what a calling. I told a brother, oh yes, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I hear you clear in your throat right now. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah.